keep it alive. Through these lines I write, I keep it live, cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario. My stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beating to the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind. Oh no, it's ponderoso, dope so. No overdose, cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know. We getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio. Once again, with your host, Nick Burnaby, here on UCY. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in, and welcome to the show. Make sure you bookmark UCY and check out all the other awesome hosts that are here 5 days, actually 7 days a week. We're here 5 days a week, Monday through Friday at the same time. You can bookmark our profile and check us back out. You can also check us out on YouTube on UCY.TV's YouTube channel to go back and listen to any of our previous shows. We've been going at it for a while now, a couple years. So we got a lot of radio shows on record that we've recorded. So there's some interesting things to talk about. We are going to have some open lines. We're looking forward to some special guests later on that are directly affected by some of the news that's going on in the last few days, last week, and hopefully he can join us and talk about what's going on up there in Ohio, because there's some crazy things going on there as well. If anybody wants to join in with the call, feel free to call us 718-717-8296, and we can talk about whatever is going on, because there's always a bunch of news that we have that's just, it's sometimes it seems like every day is April Fool's Day, right? Because it's just unbelievable. Yeah. Headline after unbelievable headline sometimes. And I mean, so we got this story that we're first going to go into with Jake, and Jake's joining us here in the studio tonight. How you doing, man?
Good, Nick. April Fools.
Get it?
All right. I was gonna start the show off with a horrible April Fools joke, but I didn't want to like scare anybody off. Anyway, we're talking about the this article that we put up today that you wrote, and it's talking about the patent system, and I've been kind of, you know, looking at the whole patent system and what it's been used for. And, you know, you see Apple in the news like every other week going to fighting Samsung over their patents and stuff. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there and there's a big movement that's growing, and we're huge supporters of it. The, you know, the open source movement and like Creative Commons and stuff like that. And if anyone out there listening that's read our articles at the bottom, you'll see our little Creative Commons disclaimer down there. And so we kind of participate in this movement as well. You know, it's all about free information and not trying to patent or copyright your stuff, because in reality, if you're actually trying to move forward and help people, I mean, why in the world do you want to patent it and charge everybody? If you come up with a good idea, you know, why would you want to patent it and hold it, you know, hoard it for yourself? And really, that's kind of what's been going on now, because our patent system has been it's in horrible, horrible need of reform, right? It's been abused. It's been taken advantage of. I'd argue that the patent system is regressive. It's easy for companies like Apple to go and wage a huge lawsuit. Then again, Apple just lost a huge lawsuit to some other guy that didn't really have a lot of money, but some lawyers took his case because they figured, yeah, if we could sue Apple for several million dollars, then we can, you know, at least we get a cut. But you know, this is kind of goes into this whole patent system and how it's being used not for good, like it was initially set up to be. You know, it was set up to reward innovators and inventors, entrepreneurs, to give them protection over their property that they justly created. You know, you come up with a product out of thin air, out of your own head, which isn't entirely true, because almost everything that is ever invented is just based on a previous invention or based on previous ideas. So that in itself is kind of, you know, there's kind of a conflicting issue that's going on right there. But, you know, the system was created to protect inventors and stuff, but now it's being used to actually hurt innovation. Is that right?
Well, it seems like that. It seems like there's a monopoly, you know, people are throttling innovation with patents. It certainly was the case. Well, I mean, a good example of the opposite of this is what Tesla did. Tesla actually released their patents, all of them, and made all of their tech open source. They released this was last year actually, but the CEO of Tesla Motors released a blog post called "All Our Patent Are Belong to You."
Nice.
Yeah, and the whole point of it, I actually wrote about this for the site. This was like a year ago, but it basically was, you know, their thinking was that by encouraging the use of their technology, they were going to create the industry of the electric car, and that would bring them in more money. So there is a business model there. The way we're seeing it today is, and of course, I listed five that I think are particularly bad. There are more, obviously. You know, Amazon with their patent on the white background photos.
I mean, that's just ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, what? How can you patent? We're going to patent the way that we set up our products behind a white background.
This is how Stephen Colbert explained the situation. Amazon now has a legal ownership of the idea of displaying a thing. He said it funnier than that. But essentially, you know, they are trying to throttle the entire... I mean, photographers have come out and said that this is a decades-old idea that has evolved and that Amazon has no right to own this idea. But... hey, it's not stopping the fact that they can now sue the holy hell out of anybody that they want to for infringing upon this.
I mean, you know, fortunately, so far, it hasn't been really pursued that much in court.
No, and that's not the most, I mean, that still pales in comparison to some of these other patents. You know, of course, Apple... is patenting flipping virtual pages, and if they've been battling back and forth with Samsung in court now. These are billion-dollar legal skirmishes, and you know we're entering the age of patent wars now between tech goliaths, and this is something we're going to see more and more of. Of course, we all know the worst is Monsanto.
Yeah, and you know it's known as patent trolling, right? And that's really what these guys are. A lot of these guys are doing. Apple, Samsung,
right.
Throwing these patent trolling lawsuits out there to slow down the competition or whatever.
Right.
And it adds a whole new angle to whatever our economic system is. You know, it adds a whole new angle to it. And one of the other things that happens quite often is that companies buy up a bunch of patents just to shut them down, you know, and that to me is where we can get ourselves into a very dangerous, very sticky situation, is where, you know, companies are buying up all these ideas just to not use them.
Right.
You know? And it's one of those things where they're doing it strictly out of greed and they just don't they just don't give a damn about the rest of the, you know, the rest of everybody else that could potentially benefit from these ideas.
Right. They don't, maybe they don't want innovation, which is the opposite of the Tesla thing. Tesla, and of course, I'm not here to deify Tesla, but it is a completely opposite business model than what we're talking about with some of these other places.
Yeah, Tesla's a pretty decent company, you know? Like you said, they're open source. That, in my book, automatically puts them on the right side of the new business cycle, the new ideas of business, the new open source Creative Commons economy. You know, and I think companies like Google and like Apple, maybe not so much like Apple, Samsung, these are like the old guard now.
Yeah.
You know, these have become like the old guard, Yahoo and them. It's where like instead of being like on the cutting edge of innovation, they're not anymore. They resort to patent trolling and trying to buy out all the competition. We have a caller on the line from 470. We're going to get to, before we jump into this, some of these worst patents here. From 470, what do you think about this whole patent system, the whole intellectual property idea? Okay, 470. Caller from 470, can you hear me? All right, sorry, we're going to have to drop the call. You can continue listening to us at ucy.tv if you still want to tune in.
Nick, is copyleft, is that a synonym for some of this stuff? Because I know copyleft was a movement, too.
Is that what it is? I think that's the first time hearing that.
Yeah.
Actually.
It definitely, I mean, I'm it's got to be the same thing as Creative Commons. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a movement, man, and it's getting, you know, it's growing.
Well, people are starting to see kind of the sinister nature of how you put it, which is basically not so much that they're protecting intellectual property, but they're stifling the creation of future intellectual property. And you know, an interesting one here that I had, number two, was a company, Eastland, which is I actually don't even really know very much about the company, but basically they are the vanguard for HARP, which is just this very enigmatic experiment going on, you know, in which they're basically, they own the patent for a method and apparatus for altering a region in the Earth's atmosphere, magnetosphere. And we don't really know what they're doing with it, further than what they say they're doing is it's a Department of Defense project to try and work on communication or whatnot. But it's a patent that is pretty just terrifying. Just look up HARP, HAARP, and you'll get scared. April Fools. but the number one evil one, and then, you know, we talk about Monsanto so much, but I think it's important to point out, this is a statistic that is shocking, not the first one. This first one is the company holds 674 patents, and they bought out more than 200 companies, so they have a complete monopoly on seed distribution. But here's the statistic you really need to hear and you really need to think about. Their stranglehold over the very natural resources of the land has created an atmosphere where every 30 minutes an Indian farmer commits suicide. Now let's think about that. Every 30 minutes a farmer is so convinced that his entire life and existence is destroyed, his means for creating an revenue, money for his family is so destroyed that he commits suicide. Every 30 minutes that happens because of Monsanto's seed monopoly.
Yeah, and here's another thing. The reason why those farmers in India have been committing suicide is because they were, you know, sold on this product, which was a cotton that was supposedly going to, you know, revolutionize their industry. And the crop failed on a massive scale. And
right.
A lot of these guys had to go into mass, you know, they had to go into debt to buy the seeds from Monsanto and subsidiaries in India. And then all of a sudden they had to let, you know, they don't have much collateral. We're talking about rural farmers in India.
Yeah.
They're basically broke. They're living day to day, eating the food that they're growing. And they had to leverage what they the little that they did have, their homes, you know, their livelihoods. They have to leverage it to get these loans to get these agricultural products from the Monsanto subsidiary, and then the crop fails, and then guess what? They're so desperate that they're so hopeless that they just started committing suicide on a massive scale. I think it was something like 300,000. How many was it?
Every 30 minutes, it's 17,638 deaths since 2009. If they replant last season's seeds, it's infringement. If unauthorized GMO seeds naturally blow with the wind and grow on their land, it's infringement. And you think Monsanto will let a few of these seeds skate by? No, they don't. They actively pursue and litigate these farmers to the point of driving them to this. You know, this is a failure. This is a failure of the free market. How else can we put it?
And no, you know, here's the thing. The other sad part is that, like, these guys, Monsanto, their main route of business is via, like, government, right? They always do their dealings through governments, and they use these crony tactics to strong arm small scale farmers, rural farmers, and stuff. There's a big fight going down. I think it was in El Salvador recently with the farmers down there trying to not allow their farming system to be monopolized by them, and they won actually. Eventually, they were able to hold them off because what was going on? Here's a little caveat here, is that the U.S. government was tying to their aid package, a billion dollar aid package to the government, and they said part of the agreement of you taking this aid is that you also have to go in and start using these Monsanto seeds. So that it gives you an idea of the way that these guys do business. You know, they're not in there actually competing and saying, "Hey, we're offering a better product. It's cheaper. You know, it's more efficient." And because that's obviously not the case. If you use the GMO seeds, first you got to pay a premium for getting this technology. Then you got to buy the Roundup glyphosate-based, you know, herbicide or whatever pesticide it is that it's resistant to. You know, and these costs keep going up. And the most messed up part is that every time that Monsanto genetically engineers like a crop to be resistant or to have its own pesticide or to be resistant to herbicide, every time they do that, nature always has a reaction. Nature creates these super weeds. Super weeds evolve quickly in a matter of years, man. Normally, evolution takes a long time, but when you make a crazy alteration in the environment, well, everything around it evolves a lot quicker, just like humans, man. Look at this. All the, you know, some of these rodents have perpetuated even greater with humans. Rats, possums, skunks. The numbers of those animals have grown since humans have taken over this urban environment, right? So what's going on is that not only is there super weeds growing up from these resistant where they're spraying all these herbicides, but also the BT crops, which is when the BT crop is the GMOs that they actually build a biological pesticide into the DNA of the corn or of the BT crop, and then when the bugs try to eat the corn, the bug just dies off. But what's going on that side of this technology is that sooner or later there's going to be bugs that don't die off when they get in contact with this biological pesticide.
Right.
And then those are the ones that are going to start reproducing like crazy because all the other ones are dying off. Then you're going to have huge pockets of superbugs. It's already happening in many places around the country and around the world. So, you know, these are the problems that exist. So it's always going to be a race to have more plants that are resistant to more harsh pesticides. The World Health Organization already came out a few weeks ago and was saying, look, glyphosate is probably causing massive amounts of cancer. So we're talking about using pesticides that are more intense than glyphosate. And it brings us back to Agent Orange. They're starting to come out with this new pesticide. I think it's Dow Chemical, I'm pretty sure, is the one that's pushing it out. It's a Agent Orange. The base ingredient is like very, very similar to Agent Orange. And we all know the horrible damage that was caused by that stuff. We do have a few callers on the line that I want to bring in now to talk about Monsanto. First, we got our co-host, DB Schwartz. How you doing, man?
Hey, we had our first day here that was like 80 degrees and windy, and then it thunderstormed. So getting some of that good Great Plains weather right now, it's pretty awesome.
So you're finally not frozen out there, huh?
No, it's probably better weather here than there, I'm guessing. I mean, this was a pretty amazing day, and there's not that many of them here.
Well, it was 70 here today.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to get better than here, man. But
what do you think about Monsanto, man? Luckily, fortunately for you, you were able to get out of San Diego before we found out. I guess we already knew that the bay was really polluted, but we found out that San Diego launched a lawsuit against Monsanto over the PCBs that are polluting our bay. What do you think about that?
I mean, it's just as prevalent up here. It's nationwide and it's going global, man. So, I mean, the best thing we can do is try to at least label them at the very, very least. And this DARC Act is pretty scary shit, dude. So the fact they have Blackwater, too, what are they going to do with a private army? Think about that.
Wait, what was the act you said that doesn't look good? Can you
the DARC Act? Yeah, what is that?
The DARC Act.
Well, the DARC Act's basically going to work with the TPP in conjunction. And what they're going to do is they're going to allow Monsanto to sue for future profits. And in order to basically prevent them from being able to do that, they're going to ban labeling because it'll hurt their profits.
So it's like a domestic version of the TPP, more or less.
Yep, and it's gonna. I've also heard they're probably gonna do the same thing with vaccines here now, because releasing what they're made out of is not looking good for them either.
So we do have a few other callers on the line now. We have our special co-host Manny Aguilar from Los Angeles. How's it going, man?
What's up, Nick? How you doing? Yeah, Monsanto has been very deeply hurting the migrant workers, like myself previously when I came to this country and stuff like that. And now I'm kind of reliving that through seeing the San Quintin people and stuff like that, complaining about things that they're getting sick over there, sick over that because of Monsanto, stuff like that, you know. Also, on those patents that you were talking about earlier, it really disturbs me, too, because the government, you know, they got a car that can basically now run, from these German and different scientists. They have patents that the United States decided to buy because if it doesn't run on oil or gasoline, they don't want it. So it's basically put in somewhere in the warehouse and stuff like that. And patents are just almost like basically the same thing as copyrights. Like you can, 10 artists can make the same song and they just tweak it a little bit and then it becomes their song. So it's really a crazy thing and stuff like that, you know, and then for the guy that wants a patent, there's a small guy, like, for instance, Sriracha guy. And remember Sriracha? He never patented anything. So now everybody got caught on with the sauce Sriracha, and he's not going to get no royalties because, he never registered it because he didn't have money. And so, it's kind of sad, or like the fish taco place that was bought from San Felipe and now became Rubio's. He got it for pennies, and you would think, well, now that I'm making all this money, I would maybe throw some money that way to that guy. But no, they're not going to do that, So.
Yeah, I mean, can I go as far as saying that patents are a form of corporate welfare? I mean, as you were mentioning, the patent system itself is pretty regressive. If you're just a guy that invents something and come up with a product like Sriracha, and you don't got the money to go out and patent it, and by the time it gets popular, everyone else has already copied it. And then you have, on the other side of the spectrum, you have companies like Apple, Microsoft, Google. They're going out and buying up all these patents and shutting down technologies because they don't want competition. So it's horrible. We have a few more callers that I want to get to here. I'm going to go in order of who called. 470, you were on the line earlier, but I don't know if you can hear us or if we can hear you. You want to chime in on this patent system? Can you hear me?
470.
Yep, that's
it. Yeah, I hear.
So we're talking about the patent system and the way it's been being abused and how, one company like Monsanto is notoriously horrible with the patent system. They sue farmers like on average of once a week. We talked about how they, farmers are committing suicide like once every 30 hours. What do you think about all that?
I haven't read a lot about it, but I'm a pro-health activist. So what I'm trying to do is, like, most people that have to spend their money for like healthy foods, so we can pay the farmers instead of like paying corporations or unhealthy food, junk food, everything. So we have to tell people to quit that so we can actually save the farmers instead of the farm companies.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And it kind of relates, you know, it relates to what's going on with Monsanto. I meant to bring that up. The other problem with Monsanto is that it goes hand in hand with the corporatization of the food supply, right? So in countries in Central America, South America, where they go in and there's all these rural farms and they're producing really high quality produce and stuff like that. A company like Monsanto, for instance, in India, Sri Lanka, they go in and they start monopolizing over certain crops. And then what you end up having is a situation where instead of being a bunch of these small scale farmers and stuff, now keep in mind in the US, 97% of the farms in the US are family farms. But you got to also think about how much of the percentage of the land are those 97 covering. If you think about all else, everything else is a pyramid scheme. It's all, you know, the 1% owns the majority of the assets and the wealth. If you think about it, it's probably 1% of the farms that control 90% of the land space in the U.S., these huge corporate monolithic farming corporations. And they do the same thing overseas. In India, they have these huge corporations taking over the farming systems, and it's pushing out the local farmers. And now, why is that a bad thing? Well, there's a few reasons. One, you're centralizing the food supply, so then it becomes very once you centralize the food supply and you rely on one huge corporation for all of your fruit or for all of your certain type of food, well, then you're at their mercy. They could jack up the price, they could price gouge, the supply could be cut, there could be one bad rain season and then there's no bananas this year or whatever. You know, and that's what, you know, these are the kind of things that can happen. Now, the second thing, go ahead.
Nick, what you're saying is also happening on a level people are unaware of. Like, for instance, I didn't know that some 90 percentile of broccoli of the whole U.S. is grown in California. I mean, there's a whole slew of things that are grown 95% plus in California, meaning they're not going to be on the shelf if there's really a water crisis there. And that's something that isn't to do with corporations. It's something to do with just seasons and weather and all that good stuff. So it can happen that way, too.
Yeah, exactly. And then the other thing, and I want Manny to elaborate on this too, as far as what's going on down here in San Quentin, down south of the border too, because the other thing that happens is not only is it the centralization, but then you're also creating this peasant class. Instead of having these little family scale farmers where the family works the farm and stuff, and they all make a decent income because they grow good food. That goes away when you start corporatizing the food system. You start creating feudalism, basically. And that's where you start having these horrible conditions for these people that are the farmhand. In Sri Lanka, there's this huge epidemic of kidney. They don't even know what to call it. It's some kind of kidney disease that's going on because they found that it's the glyphosate in the groundwater that's leaching heavy metals into these people's kidneys. So you have those health issues, and then you also have the poor working conditions. And that's one of the main things that's going on here just south of the border, is there's a huge strike going on because the people are trying to – they're asking for is $2.50 an hour. They're not even getting paid that right now. They're asking for $20 a day to work all day in the fields. And Manny, if you can add a little to that too, any updates, if you have any.
Yeah, basically the update has been that people are asking us to boycott Driscoll, you know, the strawberries, and also they're boycotting one of the senators down there because he made a comment. If you guys want to get paid more money, you should have gone to the university. Oh, ouch! You know, come on, somebody's got to do the dirty work. And this is what hurts when I hear comments like that. Is that migrant workers like myself, when I came to this country, I was provided no housing, no bathroom, no water. We had to fight for that because of Cesar Chavez. And to me, everybody should watch that movie, seriously. You know, hopefully BB saw it already. And if he hasn't, he needs to see it also down there in Minnesota and stuff. And it just, you guys understand, BB and Nick and Jay, you understand what it feels to be a migrant that has no housing down there in San Diego County also, where they want to treat us like we're invisible, stuff like that. You guys hear our pain because you understand about equality. You understand what migrant workers do to put that damn food to the market so that people can go buy it and then they can eat it at the restaurant. But a lot of people are not even aware of what's going on in San Quintin down there in San Diego. I mean, that's kind of sad. So we need to kind of really educate people around the globe and tell people to forget about the borders and start learning about the world. You know?
You're so right, Manny. Yeah. I mean, that's a great point, man. And I do feel blessed in the position I'm in. And it makes me sick every single day thinking about the kind of lives people are living.
Yeah, you know, it's like quasi-slave labor down there. And we're talking about just several miles south of where we're at right now. We're sitting at right here at our desk, talking to everybody around the world. Several miles south of here, there's quasi-slave labor going on across the border that's putting food on all of our plates.
Absolutely.
You know, and this is horrible. And at the same time, every time someone goes to Walmart, every time you go to Best Buy, every time you go on Amazon, shit, you're buying something that's made in China that's probably being manufactured with some kind of immoral labor practices. You know, you get talking about people making a dollar an hour or less, people working in sweatshop conditions. You heard about Foxconn, which is the company that manufactures for Apple. They put suicide nets around their warehouses so that when the workers jump from the roof to try to kill themselves, there's nets there to catch them, and they put them back on the job after that.
That's not April Fool's right there.
And you know what Foxconn did kind of like as a way to not even have to worry about human workforce is they started automating all of their chipsetters now. I mean, they're just like, forget the human liability factor.
The food we're putting in our mouths, the TVs that we're hanging up on our walls, I mean, probably the microphone I'm talking through right now, I mean, it's made by immoral labor practices.
We have to get educated. As the woman who was on the show, I forget her name, she was on here Monday, you got to vote with your dollar. Consumer power is important. I mean, I hate consumerism at every level. But people, there's got to be a movement right now to educate people on the source of their food, on the source of their products. That's more important than a vote right now, is understanding who to buy from and who not to buy from.
And start making it yourself. Because sustainability is way more powerful than consumerism. If we were all making our own stuff and didn't need them anymore, there'd be no more wars. There'd be no more funding. These dudes can only put so many guns to people's head before we're just like, forget you guys.
You're right.
Yeah. I want to make a comment, too. I will be at the Woodland facility on Monsanto. I want to be down there protesting against Monsanto on the facility down here in California and stuff like that. I also want to mention that I will be boycotting and, you know, getting those workers more money. I believe in the $15 an hour thing. It's a little sensitive for me right now because I believe in the $15 an hour, but it's a little bit sensitive, and you guys can understand why. Man, these guys can't even get $2.50. Everybody's making a big racket over it. You know what I mean? So I kind of a little bit, you know, people deserve $15 an hour here, but at the same time, I'm looking at the other side, and I'm like, damn, we can't even get $2.50 for those people, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a sad, you know? So.
That's crazy.
And by the way, hey, that woman you were talking about, you're talking about Christina, correct?
Right, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's a global struggle now, and now we can be aware of what's going on. You know, China, it's a little bit different. It's a different situation because they have such a censorship. You know, they got the Great Wall of China when it comes to the internet, and they don't really allow the outside world to get wind of the horrible, horrible labor conditions going on inside the country. Now, there was this big story, I think it was like 2.5 years ago, one of our friends broke it, Mikhail Phelan, at the time he was writing with Examiner. And one of the labor workers snuck a letter into a pallet of merchandise that wound up at a Kmart in Washington State, I think. And it was basically explaining, hey, you know, this is the situation that's going on, and explained basically this conscripted labor. It was they were working from a labor camp. They were basically political dissidents. Here you could kind of look at it maybe as people that are victims of the drug war, where they're thrown in prison and forced to manufacture these goods. And then they send it, and then they sell that crap at Kmart and Walmart and stuff. And you know, when that story broke, it's like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening and stuff. But then 2 days later, they're right back at Kmart buying TVs and stuff, you know. And so people need to, I think people need to really get more serious about, as you said, Manny, voting with our dollars, you know, and economics is what, economics is the very basis of civilization, I think. And if you could hit them in the pocketbook, then they start to react, you know, and the prime example to me is look at McDonald's. McDonald's is getting hit month after month, falling sales, falling margins, falling profits. And what are they doing? We posted an article recently on the anti-media how McDonald's is even talking about starting to use organic ingredients and stuff. I mean, not that I would, even if they had fully organic food, I still wouldn't go to McDonald's, but still. That is how you hit them, is economically. We can't try to vote these issues away, because the voting system is completely hijacked by these very same corporations. We can't try to vote and say, yeah, Obama's going to fix Monsanto. Like, you know, Obama, when he was a candidate, when he was running, he promised that he was going to label GMO foods and stuff. And everyone was like, oh, that's awesome, let's vote for this guy. And then he gets in and then he signs. He's the guy that ends up signing the Monsanto Protection Act. And then all of a sudden everyone's like, oh my God, Obama's not the guy we thought he was. Like, oh, no shit. I mean, you should have noticed that, like, you know, a long time ago.
It was
in office for a few months and he already started pissing.
No, I knew doing things 2008, I knew within 3 months of him being in office, I knew I was fooled. It was
the bailout.
It broke my heart. Oh, the bailout is what, and also not, I mean, there are so many things. I mean, we could talk for 3 hours about this, but that man broke my heart.
Well, he tricked us all, man. The bailout it was the death knell, you know? The economy went as long as it could.
I think – I still to this day think he has good intentions. I just think when you get in that position of power, first of all, you know, unless – like if you don't do what JFK did, I'd be like – Obama, let me put it as lightly as I can. Obama loves his family and doesn't want his daughters to grow up without a father.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing, is that, like, it's not that and that's a whole other reason why we can't rely on the voting system to get any kind of change, any kind of reform, any kind of positive impact for us. It's even if you put the greatest candidate in there, and I'm not saying Obama was a great candidate, he talked a good game, his actions have shown very different. But even if we had a guy in there that, let's say he had completely, completely pure intention, the system is still going to have the upper hand over top of this guy.
System will destroy that person.
And so here's the thing. There basically aren't any checks and balances left, except when there's a person that's trying to be a check and balance, then everyone else says, no, we check and balance over top of you, bro. You know, we veto your opinion. You know, and yeah, there's a few dissenters.
And who is that?
There's a few dissenters in Congress right now that will actually talk, you know, that actually vote and talk and do the right thing. Justin Amash is one that comes off the top of the head. That guy, I admire him. I'm not a fan of Congress or anything, but I admire that guy for being principled, and he believes in the Constitution. And I think it's nice that he believes in the Constitution. I don't personally believe in the Constitution, but at least, you know, that is the quote unquote law of the land. And at least that guy respects it, and he votes accordingly. But there's very, very few of those guys. And if they ever got into a situation where they really had some kind of power, well, we all see what's going on with, Rand Paul. We all see what's going on with Elizabeth Warren. We all see what's going on with Bernie Sanders. There's certain topics that they can't touch. They can't touch Israel. They can't touch foreign policy. You know, and each one of them will put their hand, like Elizabeth Warren puts her hands on Wall Street. But wasn't Obama basically putting his hands on Wall Street?
Yeah, I love Elizabeth Warren, but that's my problem with her, is that she is eerily similar to Obama pre-2008. And same with Bernie Sanders. And look, this system is a meat grinder. There is no reform. No reform will come through this system. I firmly believe it. It's because we live in a corporatocracy. And I don't know who agrees with me there, but we live in a corporatocracy. The corporations are running things now. And
families run those corporations that have run everything forever, right? So we're really in a plutocracy.
Correct.
Actually, Jay, you're right about everything. I've always said that everything's gonna have to be changed, grassroots and stuff like that. Actually, that show was really good last night with SM, from Alabama, that brother, just I can't wait for him to come down here and go down there with him and say, put the border down, and that Nick Burnaby records all that stuff. I can't wait for that. That was a good show. I want to send, you know, a shout-out to him and stuff like that, and also a shout-out to brother down there, DD in Minnesota.
Manny, shout-out to you for all you're doing, man.
Yep, Manny. Thanks for holding it down in L.A., brother.
Yeah, and you really stepped in. DB's been, you know, DB's in school right now, and he can only come for the second half of the show for the most part. And you really helped us out, man, by stepping in and stuff, and helping me co-host, co-anchor this thing. I love this show, but I gotta have someone on here that I can talk with, because no one wants to hear me rambling off on my own.
I'm just kidding.
April Fool's, dog.
I do, Nick. I want to hear you just do 1 hour solo. Dude, you got to do a special.
I think Nick has a mellifluous voice that carries.
It's soothing. It helps
night,
me sleep.
Like a Jim Morrison of the activist world.
Yeah. That picture got a lot of hits, by the way.
He looks like, Jim Morrison and Who's Love Child. We got to come up with that one.
That picture got a lot of hits with the lady, Christina, and the brother over here, MB, you know?
Yeah, Christina's amazing. She's doing great work with Free and Equal, and I truly I work with them on social media and stuff, and I think it's a real, you know, it's a piece of the puzzle as far as trying to realize true freedom, at least hopefully in our lifetime. I'm a realist. I don't think that things are going to happen overnight. I don't think tomorrow we're going to say, okay, end the Fed tomorrow, arrest the Senate, throw John McCain to the Hague. I don't think that's going to just happen tomorrow, you know, as much as I'd like that to happen. I think we're in a generational struggle. I mean, this cultural evolution, man, it's been going on since the time that humans got a hold of agriculture, since humans got a hold of domesticating animals. We've been working with this idea, this experiment of civilization for a very, very long time. It's been over 5,000 years, and, you know, we still haven't obviously figured it out, because we still got quasi-slave labor a few miles south of here. We still have conscription labor in China. There's more slaves now, in fact, working on the earth than there was ever. I mean, it's like every year there's more and more slaves.
Well, we're not going to have world peace because there's too many psychopaths and sociopaths. So the issue is, it's a war between rational, intelligent people, and whether or not they're going to capitulate to the psychopaths and sociopaths. And right now, rational, good, intelligent people, because they want their wares, they want their toys, they want their pleasures, they want their daily life, and they want the least amount of inconvenience to that, they're capitulating to the sociopaths and the psychopaths. Eventually, what's going to happen is something's going to click, and they're not going to be about it anymore, and the tide is going to turn. It will turn. What's going to set it off? I don't know. Hopefully, it's not too violent.
No, I mean, hopefully not, because violence never seems to really solve anything.
I hope it's the student loan debt crashing. That would be awesome if everyone who's unemployed with a degree just got pissed off enough to march.
Love that movement.
You know what? There is a movement, man, called Strike the Debt, and there's a school, I can't remember what it's called. We published an article on the anti-media from Common Dreams, there is a movement going on right now where it started as 15 students that said, you know what, at this one school, they were like, I'm not going to, you know, we're not going to pay it back. And now it's grown. It was 15 students, now it's 80.
Yeah, no, it's grown. It's viral now.
Yeah. And it's a Corinthian college. I don't know where that's at, but
I mean, it'd be easy to entice graduation rates if they just said, if you graduate in 5 years, which is realistic, you don't have to pay your tab. But if you take longer than that, then you got to pay it.
Well, something's got to be done, because the cost of education has just gone like through the roof. And unfortunately, it seems like the quality has just gone down. You know, like our numbers, our rankings, when it, you know, our global rankings in you know, education quality, it just keeps seeming to be dropping. Meanwhile, the prices keep going up, and it's like, what in the hell is going on? Why are the costs going up exponentially, yet the quality is going down?
Right. Robert Reich had a great post about what he thinks should be done with education, and he compared it to the education system in Germany, which is a vocational, technical-based education system. I recommend checking out Robert Reich. I didn't like Robert Reich for a while, but I'm coming around to him. I would recommend checking out his latest post on his view of the student debt crisis and how he envisions the future of education in America, because it's a little important.
Yeah, man. And the other thing is that it's really important to stay open-minded too. And a lot of people get trapped in these ideological circles and stuff, and it's like, oh, well, I only believe in this one way of thinking.
Right.
Well, you know, unfortunately, those are the kind of thought processes that have gotten us into this problem, man, is like not allowing or not accepting the fact that other people have other ideas and they want to live different ways. It's like, okay, well, I have plenty of friends that are socialists. I have plenty of friends that are anarchists. I have plenty of friends that are communists. I have plenty of friends that are Republicans and Democrats, you know, and the reason why they're all my friends is because I don't personally judge them on their, you know, on their shit. I may disagree with them. I may think Republicans are complete shit. I may think Democrats are complete shit. But I'm not going to say, hey, bro, you're a Republican. I'm not going to be your friend. I just hate you. That, you know, that's the problem, is that like,
right.
People get trapped into these ideological circles and they get too homogeneous and they're unwilling to open up to new ideas. Even if you disagree with them, at least hear them out, because it could help you with your perspective on things. And, you know, and that's why it's so nice to be able to have this access to the internet where we can just go look up. What was it called? What was the video you were talking about just now?
The video? I was talking about Robert.
Robert Reich.
Reich.
Yeah. I mean, so with the internet, we can just go put that name into Google, and we can just start reading about what this guy's talking about.
Well, Nick, you were talking the other day about your belief is in evolution, not revolution, because you said revolution goes full circle. We end up back where we began, and it's obviously you don't want to summarize all of geopolitical evolution through that, but it's a good way of looking at things, where you take in people's perspectives and you modulate the system based upon that. If our government operated that way, we'd be in a much better situation.
Exactly. But unfortunately, the government is like, to me, it's one of the worst organizations, because not only do they tell us what we can do and what we can't do. For instance, in Indiana, with this, you know, religious, quote unquote, Religious Freedom Act or whatever, now businesses,
social terrorism.
You know, I mean, I'm not going to get into the specifics. Do I think businesses should be able to discriminate? Technically, yes. I think a business should be able to turn business away from anybody. Do I think they need a law to go and do that? No. Do I think the people that are refusing business because they disagree with somebody are complete idiots? Yes. But that's the thing, man, is that like, even though I completely disagree with that pizza shop, for instance, that was going kind of viral today, pizza shop that came out and said, yeah, we're not going to serve gay people and stuff. I think those people are complete inbred idiots. But at the same time, I still don't think that it's the role of the government to force them to do any business with certain people. But
that's a misunderstanding of the law. The law is not telling them that there never was anything in place that the government was telling them they had to.
Exactly. I mean, it's already, you know, businesses already have a lot of rights, right? And they have the right to refuse service to anybody that they want, you know,
but not based upon certain aspects of personhood.
Yeah. And I think it's completely wrong. And I think that those people that are willing to use this are a huge part of the problem. But at the same time,
they're going to go out of business anyway, though, aren't they? Are they not? I mean, come on.
Maybe.
Who gives a shit about this one business? They're absolute idiots. They're morons. The question is that this is a bellwether issue of whether we're going to allow the government and litigious bot or governances to pass laws that discriminate against people. But I mean, I've been against, you know, using personal politics as wedge issues for a while. I mean, this is still all just distraction. It's like a plane crash.
It really
it's distracting
is.
Us from the bigger issues at hand.
Yeah, it's creating a circus out of something that maybe, I don't know, 5 to 10 businesses in the whole state may actually say I'm going to review. I mean, if you
there was actually a there was an ad for a pizza place that was making penis shaped pizzas in response and said, hey, we're going to discriminate against anyone who doesn't eat this head first.
Well, now that's a wedge. That's a wedge issue right there.
Hello.
All right, we have another caller on the line. How's it going? Let's see. We actually have a few callers that we need to get to here.
Yeah, let's do it.
So we have the person from Unknown. You've been on the line for a few minutes now. If you're still there, feel free to chime in. What do you want to talk about?
Who's Unknown? Am I the Unknown one?
No, yes. You're 323, so go ahead. I don't know if you have a caller can hear us.
Yeah, these call-in things are weird. They're really weird. I'm anti-media. I just saw your post on Facebook.
Nice, man. Well, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for calling in. Is there any certain topic that you want to talk about? I mean, we've talked about various different things tonight already. We were on this issue in Indiana. Jake was just mentioning that he thinks it's a big distraction. I kind of agree with him. And it's a very much, in another way, it's a divide and conquer tactic as well.
I think I actually think it's a healthy distraction because most people are miserable because they don't. Can you use foul language on the show?
Yeah, just refrain from using the F word if you can.
Oh, that was the one I was going to use. See, this is why I don't like the media. Because you can't say the F word.
You can say shit and piss, but you can't say the F word that much. We're not quite regulated by the FCC yet, but...
But see, my grandmother's so self-conscious, she's 87 years old, and every time I say it, she goes into convulsions and has, like, a minor aneurysm, like delirium tremens, and she's getting the stuff stroking out, for real. Like, that's why I'm anti-media, because I'm like, just let people speak.
That's one of my favorite beers, delirium tremens. Yeah, we don't really censor opinions here. What do you want to talk about?
Well, I think that we need a woman president later on, like after Hillary's dead. And it should be like a really hot one that was in Victoria's Secret, like a Victoria's Secret model turned politician that's like really sexy, because I would like to have a president that I want to sleep with, because all it is guys.
Yeah, it's funny to an extent.
So Jenny McCarthy or...
Any of the Kardashians, all of them. All of the Kardashians.
Well, you know, I think that's the problem, man, is that we're not electing people based on their merits. We're electing people based on superficial things and media treatment, you know, and in the end, even if we did have this presidential candidate that you're talking about, I really don't see it as really helping anything. It wouldn't really change much, you know.
No, two queens is a problem. That's two queens. No, we got one queen, one pope. We don't need another queen. You got to have a. We need another white president. We need another what? I got a friend over here that says we need another white one.
Well, you know, once again, man, I don't think that we should base it judging by whether we just want to elect someone based on their gender or their race or anything like that.
Hold on one second.
We should base it on their merits. You know, that's what Martin.
Hi, sweetie. You're all slaves in my book.
Are you calling from Kentucky in 1950? Are you from the past? Are you time travelers? Are you from Kentucky in 1950?
No, stupid. But that is when they played War of the Worlds, dumb shit.
All right, we're going to have to move on.
Good answer.
All right, suck dick and die on stage.
All right, so I guess we had a little troll.
Was that L.A.? Was that 323?
Little troll call there. Yeah, it was a 323 number. I don't know where they're
from. Sweet.
Anyway, I mean, the funny thing is that the guy kind of made a point there, as far as...
Did he?
You know, no, because his mindset is basically along the same mindset that perpetuates out here, you know, and is going, you know, controlling the conversation. It's like,
right.
Are we going to elect Hillary because she's a woman? It's like, well, you know, it'd be nice to have a woman president. But at the same time, Hillary is absolutely awful on basically everything, whether it's human rights, whether it's economics, whether it's her connection to the CFR, foreign policy. I mean, Libya, that was like all her. I mean, she is is the very poster child of what we shouldn't know.
Right. So you're saying gender is not a prescription. I mean, we shouldn't be looking for a gender change as a change to the system.
No, but here's the thing. If we had a system that was actually all things were equal, we would have already had a woman president that was legit. But Hillary Clinton, does she have the potential to be the first woman president? I think she does. I don't think it'll happen this election because I'm almost certain that it's going to be a Republican that wins.
Really?
But even if she does, if she is the first woman president, it would still suck because she's still going to try to get us into war with Iran. She's still going to try to be the police woman of the world, you know, and we're still going to have the Federal Reserve. We're still going to be bailing out the banking system. We're still going to be propping up Monsanto. Hillary Clinton is a huge Monsanto cheerleader.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean,
yeah.
Dude, everything about her is wrong.
So thought experiment here. What about a different woman, Elizabeth Warren? Do you think if she came in, the same thing that happened to Obama would happen to her?
I'm almost certain.
Yeah. Would she have an accident?
She would.
I mean, that's what I mean. Until we clean out whoever's issuing the orders or get them off this continent, nothing will change.
You are absolutely right.
So what can do that?
I could not agree with you more. Social revolution, and I don't think any of us want to go there in a thought experiment of what a social revolution is going to look like in America. It's not going to be pretty.
But it's necessary. Because
I don't think we want to see smartphones with blood all over them quite yet, but it's coming eventually.
No, we don't need to get to that crazy, you know, extension of it. We just need to, like Manny was saying before with the migrant workers making $250, the food and the water are the key. And if everybody kind of grew half of their own food for the year, those guys could be making $15 an hour in the fields, you know what I mean? So everybody's got to reprioritize. I mean, that's the only way we can beat the system, because otherwise we're just working for money, man, forever. Forever, right. We'll be debt slaves.
Right. So you're saying educate people about how to make their own food.
You have to, because if they want to cut water off. I mean, anything they want to do now, it's possible, dude. So, and then what happens? Pandemonium.
Getting back to the basics, man. And here, we can bring this right back here to California, too. And this is something that everyone across the country should be looking at, too. Jerry Brown just signed an executive order today mandating rationing our water.
Yeah.
And like, you know, of course, it's like, oh, yeah, that's something that we need because we're in this huge drought. And it's kind of funny because it's a toothless executive order. Basically, you know, what he's claiming to do is by executive order, he's going to end the drought. But what is
that? He's going to kill business.
Nothing's actually going to happen to the agriculture, because I don't know if you guys read the language, but they got exempted. 80% of California's...
Are you kidding me?
No, yeah, seriously. 80% of California's water is used up in agriculture.
God,
whether it's
that's unbelievable.
Growing crops or livestock. And guess what? They're exempted from this rationing, right? They don't have to cut back, but all of us do. And
every water-intensive business will leave the state overnight, man.
Agriculture is the single biggest use of water in the state.
But there's other things. Manufacturing plants use massive amounts of water. I mean, there's a lot of uses for water industrially, and those places are going to be gone, man. They can't take a 25% hit to production.
Yeah, and you know, it kind of shows us what happens when we allow the fate of our water to be controlled by bureaucrats and by, you know, controlled by the system. You know,
don't forget the golf courses.
Oh yeah, they got to cut back on the golf courses too. They're giving grants out to golf courses to replace their grass with.
How about they shut the golf courses down?
Oh man,
and bulldoze over them.
Yeah, they're giving grants out.
Then they'd never get any deals done, right?
We really hit the politician where it hurts in their golf game. I mean, Obama loves to golf.
Oh, big golfer, huh?
But yeah, I mean, there's ways to strike back. Taking our vital systems back into our own hands, that's one way. Hitting them economically.
All right, guys. Buenas noches.
Thanks for calling in. Catch you guys tomorrow. 5 days a week. I'ma let them know, through the stereo. Yo, here we go.